This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatin lil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim mabad. Al-yawm al-thani min shahr Allah al-Muharram. 1445 الموافق ل 8 من شهر جولاي 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So last time I guess we're talking about those places where contradiction, you know, lies in the statement of those who don't agree with khabar al-ahad to be used in the matters of aqidah or any other sensitive matter in Islam. So Sheikh was giving a series of places where they all accept these information, and the information is based on khabar ahad. So if you reject this, you have to reject the other one also. So last time we talked about as-sirat wal-mizan. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَى كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ سَعَادَتَهُ وَشَقَاوَتَهُ وَرِزْقَهُ وَآجَلَهُ وَهُوَ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ. We're done with this, right? Number 10. قَالَ خُصُوصِيَّاتِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم الَّتِي جَمَعَهَا السُّيُوطِ فِي كِتَابِهِ الْخَصَائِصُ الْكُبْرَى. خُصُوصِيَّاتِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم means those matters where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and nobody else in the ummah is supposed to enjoy that privilege. Okay, things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only addressed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hukum is only with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. Suyuti has a book called Al-Khasa'is Al-Kubra, you know, talking about the khususiyat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mithlu dukhulihi fi hayatihi al-Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into Jannah in his life. Dukhulu fi hayatihi al-Jannah in his life. Wa ru'yatuhu li ahliha. And he also saw the people of Jannah. During the Isra wal Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is nothing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not show him. And also he sees Jannah, real Jannah, in his life during the Salat al-Khusuf, the eclipse of the sun. And وَرُوِيَتُ لِأَهْلِهَا, and he saw also the people in Jannah. وَمَا أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ فِيهَا, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the believers in Jannah. وَإِسْلَامُ قَرْيَةٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِ, and the acceptance of Islam by qariya from the jinn, when they heard the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are all matters of aqidah, you know, and other matters also which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alone to enjoy that privilege without the ummah getting involved, like marrying without having the mahar. A sister can give herself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam free, and he doesn't need to pay anything if she's the one who agrees with that, like the one who came, right, and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Wa habtu nafsi lak aw ilayk," so I give myself as a gift for you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at her, and then he put his head down. So he doesn't say anything to that sister was standing in that place waiting for the response to the Prophet from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's not responding, right? So after a few moments, one of the companions said, "Ya Rasulullah, it looks like you have no interest." He said, "I do have interest, Ya Rasulullah." Yeah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No problem, since she agrees with that." And he asked him to go and provide something to pay for the mahar, because he is not like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He couldn't find anything to pay. So he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, if you memorize something from the Quran, you can teach her that one, it will be the mahar. So that was the mahar in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we said marriage was made easy in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very simple. Yeah. So you can understand why the community was protected. Yeah. Number of cases of zina, they are ma'adud that bil asaba. Right, because you don't have excuse if you don't marry at that time. Yeah, it's very simple. As long as you can provide food, you have the energy and the skills to provide food, was enough for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have a place to put the wife, was enough for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regardless of the nature of the place. Yeah. So we also have to understand this correctly and use it. We're not saying a person should go and marry and he doesn't have any source. But whatever source that can generate enough for himself and his family is more than enough for marriage. Yeah, not necessarily big amount. You have something to buy nasi lemak every day, you know, in the morning and evening and night. That's fine. Alhamdulillah, you are rich. You have a house, you are rich. That's more than enough. What else you need? Yeah, one piece or two pieces of cloth, you and the wife, that's khalas. The community will be protected. It's all about happiness, you know. You're being happy, yeah, in the marriage. And having abundance of wealth doesn't bring that to you and to anyone. It's the quality of the marriage itself, you know, that brings happiness, regardless of the place where you stay. You get it? So we have to understand this correctly, inshallah. To stay away from the cultural practices of many places where in some places 150,000 ringgit might be the little mahar or average, you know, unfortunately. So we really need to change this behavior and come back to our consciousness and do it in the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi used to do it in that time. So Allah says, وَمُرَأَةً مُؤْمِنَةً إِنْ وَهَبَتْ نَفْسَهَا لِلنَّبِيِّ إِنْ أَرَادَ النَّبِيُّ أَنْ يَسْتَنْكِحَهَا. If a woman wants to give herself to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wants to marry her, if he has interest. So this is مِنْ خُصُوصِيَاتِ الرَّسُولِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's why from this, the scholars, devise a maxim that says, if there is a contradiction between action and statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, command, we follow the command. Because action might be khas for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, might be something given to him specifically for him alone. Which the statement is very straightforward. So we always follow the statement, not the action. He says, we do what he asks us to do. Even if he is doing something else. Yeah? Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. So this is number 10. Number 11. Al-qat'u bi-anna al-asharata al-mubashsharina bil-jannati min ahli al-jannah. Believing that those, ten companions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave good news of going to Jannah, they are from Ahlul Jannah. Yeah, 10 companions the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that each one of them will be in Jannah. Hamad, I think you need the Wi-Fi. This one is gone. Huh? So these 10 companions, who are they? Who are the 10 companions? The Khulafa al-Rashidin. Who are the Khulafa al-Rashidin? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and who else? Fuk al-Bayt. Sa'id. Who is Sa'id? Sa'id is correct. Sa'id, but which Sa'id? Should I change to yours?
This one, I think.
Sa'id, which Sa'id? Is it? Sa'id ibn Zayd. Zayd ibn Amr, his father was Zayd ibn Amr, you remember Zayd ibn Amr, right? The one who rejected the religion of the Quraysh. Yeah, although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not there. What is that? Sun. It's kind of long. So Sayyid ibn Zayd, his father was among those who rejected the approach of the Quraysh. He doesn't worship idol. Zayd ibn Amr. He died upon that nature. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, he will be resurrected alone. You know, subhanAllah, because he was alone living in that place, getting persecuted and punished by the Quraysh because of his approach. He said he doesn't agree with this way to be the religion of Ibrahim. He doesn't know what exactly the religion of Ibrahim is, but this doesn't make sense to him. Yeah. So he used this natural fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him to stay away from shirk. And subhanAllah, that benefited him in the hereafter. And so Sayyid ibn Zayd, number 5. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, number 6. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, 7. Who? Abu Ubaidah, Amr ibn Jarrah, and then Talha ibn Ubaidullah, and Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. So these are the 10 people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave good news that they are going to Jannah. Wa idgham hussadi. And they are not only 10. This one just came in one place, Fulan in Jannah. He says, this person is Jannah. And the people who are going to Jannah in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his statement, they are much more than that. Anyone who contributed and participated in the battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever they did in this life will never harm them. They will be going to Jannah. And those who went to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, 1004, 1005 also. And there are a couple of people in Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them they are going to Jannah. So there are so many, you know, those who succeeded and got that virtue. The best is to understand who they are and to read their biography so that we will be able to follow them in doing what they did. And also we get what they got with Allah azza wa jalla. Knowing this is not that much beneficial to us if we don't study their history and act in the way they used to do, because they got those blessings because of who they were to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in terms of position in the dunya. So the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believes that they believe that these ones will be going to Jannah, contrary to the Shia. The Shia don't agree with that. One of the criminals who used to curse the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says he used to love a number 10, but he hates 10 because of Asharatul Mubashirin bil Jannah. And he curse. Very bad statement, you know. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him off. Kafallahu al-mu'minina min sharrahu. They have many. So Jannah is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to whomsoever he wishes. We don't interfere. You get it? So he gave whomsoever he wishes. We're not supposed to say anything. And Aqidat Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, actually we don't confirm Jannah or hell to anyone, except the person who the Nusus confirmed Jannah for him. Right, Allah says this person is going to Jannah, we say, yeah, he's going to Jannah. This person is going to hell, we say, he's going to hell. The only one that we say he is going to hell is somebody who died in kufr, and we are sure that he dies in kufr. You get it? If we see his death, witness his death, and he died in kufr, yes, he's going to hell. These ones, when you pass through their places, the Prophet ﷺ said, Bashirhum bin nar. Give them the good news of going to hell. You know. So, no compromise in this regard, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will never forgive somebody who died in shirk. So, Jannah, we can only confirm if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms for somebody. Because we don't know. We don't know what? The ma'al al-umur. A person is Muslim, is very righteous. But we don't know. Is he going to maintain this until then? We're not sure. If you see him and say, oh, this one is going to Jannah, how do you know? Maybe before his death, he changed. Do we have cases like this? Yes. We have people who wrote book on Tawheed and they turned to be mulhidin, atheists. Used to be very strong in Tawheed, but then later on, they went off. We have people who used to be very good, you know, subhanAllah, very good in terms of approach, but then they get out of it, you know, to something that looks like atheism. They call themselves Muslims, but the challenges, you know, Islam and many things they have issues with in Islam. They were not like this before. That's why living within the midst of the non-Muslim is not an option. Yeah, Muslim is always recommended to come and live with the Muslims so that you can be able to preserve your iman. Now, going to the Western community, if it is not necessary, it's not that shouldn't be a choice, shouldn't be an option. Yeah, you should always be patient and live with the Muslims. Unless you see Muslimin, you hear the Adhan, you see righteous people, you always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. And you do have a job to be doing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get this when you live in the Muslim territory. Sorry. So it's good for us to understand this. Yeah. So as I said, a person, we cannot confirm Jannah for him. The same goes to hell. You see this kafir rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying whatever he wants to say today. Tomorrow, yeah, we have many, many who converted to Islam. If you look at their biography before, who are they? Real enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now, very close to him, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. So if in the past, we already concluded that these are hellfire people, then what will be your comment when they change, they come back to the truth and they accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why according to our aqidah, we don't say this one is hell guy and this one is Jannah guy. We don't know. Because we're not sure what kind of conclusion and end is he going to be having. Until the time we see the end, or we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam or the Quran saying to us that this person is in hell and this person is in Jannah. I guess it's clear, inshallah. قَالَ عَدَمُ تَخْلِيدِ أَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنَ النَّارِ. So all of those who are rejecting the Hadith al-Ahad, they accepted the fact that Asharatul Mubashirin, they are going to Jannah. And also, they also accept that Ahlul Kaba'ir will not be in hell forever. It's part of our Aqidah, right? That Ahlul Kaba'ir will not be in hell forever. Contrary to Khawarij and Mu'tazila. Khawarij and Mu'tazila. They believe that if you commit sin, you will be in hell, in Murtakib al-Kabira, Mukhalladin fi nari. The one who committed major sin will be in hell forever. You know. So this is aqidah batila against the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? We got from the Sunnah people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive their sins after they die, and they are committing kaba'ir al-dhunub. Right? They are committing kaba'ir al-dhunub and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. So he is the one who is making that decision, who to go to paradise and who to go to hell. And he says that if you die committing shirk, that person will never go to paradise. Which means if a person died without committing shirk, the possibility of him going to paradise is always there, even without punishment. You remember the hadith of Bitaqa? The hadith of the card, A person came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with 99 scrolls of evil deeds, right? None of them is good. كُلُّ سِجِلٍ مِّنْهَا مَدَّ الْبَصَرِ Every scroll is as far as you can see. That's how big is one scroll. 99. Each one of them is full of nothing other than sins. Yani, how do you expect this person to succeed, you know? But since we are not the one who is making the decision, this is Allah's right. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that this person will be saved. You know, Allah gave him the card written on it, La ilaha illallah. And they put the scrolls, 99 of them, on one hand of the scale. And they put the bitaqa, La ilaha illallah, on the other hand of the scale. فَطَاشَتِ السِّجِلَّاتِ وَثَقُلَتِ الْبِتَاقَ Those sijillat, they're gone. They became so light. And that card, small card, you know, was so heavy on the scale, it outweighs those sijillat. Where did he go after that? Jannah. This is Rabbul Alameen. You know. He says, يَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَا يَشَاءُ Whatever is other than shirk, less than shirk, Allah forgives it if He wishes. If He wishes, He forgives. So Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that مُرْتَكِبِ الْكَبِيرَةِ لَا يُخَلَّدْ فِي النَّارِ He will be punished in hell according to their sins. Then Allah will take them either بِشَفَاعَةِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم or بِشَفَاعَةِ الصَّالِحِينَ أو برحمة رب العالمين شفاعة الله عز وجل منه إليه Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them out of hell you know, from him, himself. Those who did not get this shafa'a, they will have to stay in hell up to the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to take them out. The time when they finish, you know, becoming purified, you know, from those dirty diseases, you know, and bad things that were attached to them because of their sins. Then they will be going to paradise bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jalla. No Muslim will remain in hell. But that shouldn't be, you know, taken for granted. To say that, oh, your Muslim will not stay in hell, you know, forever. Then it's okay. Live your life. No. Ya Allah, nobody will choose this method except a prodigal, Safi. Somebody who never heard of hell. Because if you know what is hell, you will not agree to be in hell for a second. If there is any possibility for you to avoid seeing it, you will do. And don't forget, وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this person is going to be in hell for a day, if the calculation is his calculation, how many years this person is going to be in hell? 1,000 years. If Allah says few days, 2 days, 3 days, that's 3,000 years. It will be in hell for 3,000 years. You know, 1 second in hell causes somebody who lived the most enjoyable life in this dunya, but he is in hell. 1 moment in hell was enough for him to forget everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, هَلْ مَرَّ بِكَ نَعِيمٌ قَطْ Did you ever enjoy ni'mah in your life? He says, لَا وَاللَّهِ يَا رَبْ Said no, never experienced ni'mah in his life. You know, one moment in hell deleted every experience he had before of ni'mah, you know, and good life. That's hell. Just like Jannah, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the worst people in terms of difficulty in life. You know, the most destitute one. Allah put him in Jannah because of his good manners and good attitude and righteousness. And then Allah asked him, just after a moment, Allah asked him, did you ever experience difficulty and hardship in life? He said, no, Ya Allah. He forgot that there was difficulty. That's Jannah and hell. So only a prodigal, Safi, will say to himself, okay, since we are going to hell just for a while, you know. That's why Sufaha, like who? Yahud, right? They agreed to go to hell. They said they are going to hell. They understand that. But they're just going for a while, and then the Muslimin will come after that. Yeah, we don't agree with this aqidah. This is their aqidah. They said they agreed to go to hell, and they know they're going to hell. And believe me, and trust me, up to date, they know they have no portion in the Akhirah. Because they have the truth with them. But this mentality of arrogance against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also we just have to follow what we want to follow, and we reject anyone who is not a Jew. People are animals, they are only human beings. We'll never let them to see the truth. And this is also the punishment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given to somebody who is arrogant. Allah would not let him see the truth. سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا. So the aqibat al-takabbur, al-kibr, is to be deprived from seeing the right thing. You know, that's why arrogance doesn't fit us at all. You Allah, you will not learn at all if you're arrogant. Yeah, you will not learn. Even if you learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive you from getting the benefit of that knowledge. You will never benefit from it. So, what is it, Alayna? Identify what is our job and be busy with that. Yeah? What is your job and be busy with that? Don't go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever you realize that you are going against, come back quickly and repent. That's it. So this issue is the aqidah matter. And they accept that. And also we got it from the khabar al-ahad. Al-Iman bi kulli ma sahha fi al-hadithi fi sifati al-qiyama wal-hashri wal-nashri mimma lam yarid fi al-Qur'an al-Karim. Anything that is authentically attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, which is found in the hadith, we don't get it from the Quran, that talks about the sifa of al-qiyama. It's all akhbaru ahad. Wal-hashri, and resurrection. Wal-nashri, and also bringing people back from the grave and giving them the books of records of their deed. Mimma lam yarid fil Quran. None of these, I mean, some of them come from the Quran, but there are others which are not from the Quran. Where do we get them? Akhbaru ahad. And they accept those. So these are all facts. But the nature of the Day of Judgment, how is it going to happen? And also, wal-hashr wal-nashr, wa-ma ila dhalik. Al-Iman bi majmu' ashrat al-sa'ah. And collectively, those conditions, those signs of the Day of Judgment, collectively, you know, these people, they also believe in that. And these are matters of aqeedah. And they came to us through akhbar ahad. They also have books. They also appreciate books. If we don't accept khabar al-ahad, then books like this will be useless. Right? Because they always focus on things which are akhbar ahad. Ka khuruj al-Mahdi. Like the arrival of Mahdi. Mahdi, inshallah, we talk about that one, inshallah. Not the Mahdi al-Muntadhar of the Shia, the one who is hiding in the hole of a lizard. That's a cartoon show. Wanuzul Isa ibn Maryam, and the descendants of Isa ibn Maryam. Okay, we will talk about this, inshallah, in detail later. Khuruj al-Dajjal, and the arrival of Dajjal. We'll talk about that, inshallah. Khuruj al-Nar, as the last one. The fire will come and chase people to the land of Mahshar, from Yemen to Sham. وَطُلُوَ الشَّمْسِ مِن مَغْرِبِهَا, and the rising of the sun from the west. وَالدَّبَّ, you know, and the animal, the beast, that will come on the same day. Inshallah, we'll talk about this, when this dabba is coming. وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ, and many other signs of the Day of Judgment, which are established through the ahad of the nusus. ثم إنه ليست أدلة جميع هذه الأقائد التي قالوا هي ثابتة بخبر الأحاد ليس أدلتها أحاديث أحد بل منها ما دليل أحاديث متواترة ولكن قلة علم هؤلاء المنكرين لحجية خبر الأحاد جعلهم يردون كل هذه الأقائد وغيرها من الأقائد التي جاءت بها الأحاديث الصحيحة. It's a very good point he concluded with. He said, on top of all of this, many, if not most of these ahadith of aqaid, the aqaid, issues of the aqaid that they agree, they establish, and they claim, even if those which they don't establish, most of them, they claim that these are akhbar ahad, we don't accept it. So they reject it because they believe it is khabar ahad. Sheikh said, most of these things they are rejecting, these matters of aqidah, they rejected because they believe it is khabar ahad. He said it's not khabar ahad. The hadith mutawatira. But he says, unfortunately, because of the little knowledge they have. Because their eyes is blind. So they deprive themselves from learning. So they don't go and study more. You know, they just see one hadith, oh, this is ahad. And then, no, khalas, we don't accept this sifa, we don't accept this fact, we don't accept this because it is ahad. Sheikh said, not knowing that this is not ahad, yeah, they got one of these hadith that collectively they become mutawatir. You get what he's talking about? Yeah, I see one hadith. How do I get mutawatir? Many hadith, right? Yusuf said and Isan Hussein Adam, and many people are saying, everyone is telling me. Then it will become mutawatir. If I found what Ihsan said, and I did not see what the rest of you guys are saying, to me, this issue is established through ahad. And, why? Because I only got this one. But that took place, this understanding, because of my little knowledge. You get it? Because of my little knowledge. If I continue my reading and seeking the knowledge, I will conclude like the rest of the scholars that this is not khabar ahad. It's a very good point, actually, to stress on. That sometimes, many times actually, lack of knowledge causes a person to reject something. Al-mar'u adu ma jahid, right? You are the enemy of what you don't know. Usually when you know something, you will understand it correctly and you deal with it accordingly. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِدْ بِهِ. How is it possible for you to be patient of something that you don't have knowledge of? So they're rejecting information that are considered fact in Islam because of little knowledge. That's why leaving things, you know, to the scholars to decide and to talk about them is always good for a person. You Allah, it's not your field, don't talk. Let somebody who qualifies to talk. But you have many people are talking. Everyone is talking. So they will reject what is firmly established in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the little knowledge they are having. You get it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Is'alu ahl al-dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Go and ask the scholars if you don't know. So many of these matters have been rejected because of the little knowledge. If a person got, you know, the knowledge from the scholars and study more, you will see that yes, definitely it is there, but he is the one who is deficient in his learning. So khabarul ahad is important, very important actually. If you say only mutawatir, then you're going to reject the vast majority of the rulings in Islam. So we are done with this, inshallah, alhamdulillah. The next mabhath is the mabhath of إخبار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الغيوب المستقبلة. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he talked and told the ummah about those things that will exist in the future. Al-ghayb, unseen, you know, things and issues and matters that will exist in the future. قال لقد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بما يكون إلى قيام الساعة. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the ummah about what will happen until the day of judgment. وَذَلِكَ مِمَّا أَطْلَعَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْغُيُوبِ الْمُسْتَقْبَلَةِ. And this is part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَحَدِيثُ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ كَثِيرَةً حَتَّى بَلَغَتْ حَدَّ التَّوَاتِرِ الْمَعْنَوِي. The hadith collectively reaches the level of tawatir al-ma'nawi. Tawatir al-lafzi wal-ma'nawi. So it reaches the tawatir al-ma'nawi. Tawatir al-ma'nawi is easy to establish. Meaning you have a hadith, although the text of these hadiths are not equal, but the meaning is the same. They all differ into the same thing. So this is also a means of tawatir. He says to establish this fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talk about the ghayb that will take place in the future, we have mutawatir a hadith. فمنها ما رأوه حذيفة ابن اليمان صاحب السر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لقد خطبنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبة ما ترك فيها شيئا إلى قيام الساعة إلا ذكره الله. He says Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us khutbah. He did not leave anything that will happen until the day of judgment without mentioning it. Yeah, it's an interesting majalis. of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the Jawami al-Kalim in one sitting, summarized for them everything. Allah. Alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahilah. The one who remembers, remembers. The one who knows, knows. And the one who did not remember. Meaning, he should look for somebody who remember that and take it from him. Don't go to the one who forgot. Yeah, we have in every majlis different type of people. And yeah, people, mashallah, the first time the information comes, they already get it. You have some people, no, they need to write it down. They go home and study. Yeah? You have some people, even after writing down, Allahu musta'an. You have to read a lot and still it doesn't go to the brain. And you have our friends. These are the vast majority. No writing, no memorization, no anything. But alhamdulillah, they're still having good in them because they come to the classes. Right, Yusuf? Yeah. They have a lot of good in them because at least they come to the class. So no blame. Better than those who are not in the class, for sure. No room of comparison. You know. But it would be good, you know, always, if they are to be focusing in the class and putting all of their attention. Yeah, because this is how it is supposed to be done. If you agree to come to the class, you should put all of your attention to the class. Sabr, sabr. Especially in our time when we have the social media taking our attention, even in the classrooms, right? Nowadays in the classes, the normal official classes, how is it? Everyone has his phone, everyone has his device, you know? I pass through some classes sometimes and lecturer is there busy teaching and you can see from the screen of those guys, they're watching YouTube. Because the lecturer was there, you know, he doesn't see what is that, but and sometimes also in a lecturer, you can understand that, yes, definitely this person is not with you. Otherwise, how is it you are not talking about something that brings a smile, you know, not, or laughing? This guy is laughing alone. I mean, do you need anyone to explain to you that he's not with you? He's laughing alone, watching something and laughing alone. What does that mean? لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ This is the status of our education system nowadays. Yeah. What is the purpose of coming to the class? What is the purpose of coming to the class? To learn the knowledge and the tarbiyah also. To look into the samt of the sheikh, the scholar. To try to imitate him in his adab, manners, respect, you know. To live a good life, rather than, that's why you find a lot of problems from people who are reading and taking from the books. One of our scholars, without mentioning his name, they categorize his students into three types. Those who sat with him, they were with him throughout his life. And you have those who took his knowledge from his books. And you have those who are just picking up from here and there, you know. So you have a lot of issues with the first two groups, especially the last one. Qalili al-adab, no adab in their approaches. No adab. They believe everyone is wrong, they're the only one who is right. I met one of them. He says, we used to, subhanAllah, he made tawbah. And I met him in Medina. He says, you see, in those days, if somebody go against us, he said, we don't even have interest to hear the side of his evidence. No matter how much he's going to talk, we don't even have time to listen to what he was going to be saying. SubhanAllah, after he moved to other places, he sees the reality, then he understands that knowledge is not about this. It's not like that. You don't find that problem with the students who sit with that sheikh or with him throughout his life. They are mu'addabin, they have adab. And the way he has adab, they have also adab. That's why it's necessary to go to the class. Yeah, you learn from the sheikh, adab, knowledge. Ibn Uthaymeen used to say, we teach both adab and knowledge. That's why whenever a student misbehaves, he talked to him. Yeah, because this is what knowledge is all about. What is the point of you memorizing everything, but you're not mu'addab? Which nowadays we find a lot. You have a person who stand up, in front of his sheikh and told him, "Anta kadhab, you are a liar." And he will say that we learned this from the Salaf al-Saleh. I don't know which Salaf al-Saleh is he talking about that does this to his scholars. So Allah salam wa afiyah. So we should be serious in our learning. This is my advice to all of you out of love. You agree to go to any classes wherever you are going, please be serious in that class. Yeah, free yourself before you get into the class. Get into the class and focus from A to Z. Most of our classes is only 1 hour, 1.5 hours. Most of the classes you guys are attending and we attend is just that amount. Why can't we be patient? Keep our devices aside. It is not necessary, we don't use them. Focus in the class, take note. If you don't take note of at least you're focusing, you know. You don't miss anything. You store it in your brain, you know. And then go and revise it and make sure you memorize it, because this is knowledge. Knowledge is not about you having it in the book. We already have the library. Yeah, in UAE, this is the knowledge. We have Darul Hikmah. We have many people with books, actually. So if you memorize without, applying, you know, and remembering what you memorize and keeping, putting it into action, we don't need you. We have books in the library. Get it? So, and also in the class, when you go to the class, any majlis, official classes and classes like this, you know, when you visit them, try not to move from the place. Yeah. And try, no matter what, not to talk to your friend. Yeah, most of us are negligent in this. Yeah, sometimes I might be asking Yusuf about what the Sheikh is talking about. So we are discussing, knowledge, something related to the lecture. But it is still very wrong. It is still very wrong. Because I'm supposed to, Adam is a Sheikh, inshallah, Mufti, Diyar, not that place, inshallah. That, I don't want to mention that. I don't want him to become Mufti in that place. Inshallah. So, let's say we're learning from him. So he mentioned something which I don't understand. What we usually do is I will ask my neighbor, what did he say? No. And that's wrong. I should make space in my note, I just keep it like that. And then keep listening. Or disturb the Sheikh and stop him. Now when I stop the lecture, I ask, and then the Sheikh will explain to me. Then I will be sure that I don't miss anything. Because the time I'm talking to him, Adam is still discussing other matters. So I'm going to miss all of those ones. And add to that, Yusuf might not be able to explain to me correctly. So I'm losing both. I lost what the Sheikh is mentioning now, and I lost the good explanation. That's why the best method is to be patient. There's the best method, especially classes where you have time for question and answers. The best is not to interrupt the speaker. Because trust me, whoever you're dealing with, when you stop him, there might be a lot of information that will be missing. Because sometimes this knowledge is amazing. When you start talking, and when you see a sheikh walking, you know, on the street, he doesn't remember anything. Yeah, and he feels that he's empty, there's nothing with him. But the moment he starts speaking, wallahi, sometimes it's like, why are you coming? You know, the information and all of these things will come. You remember so many things. You debate with some of your mashayikh, some of the students, your marajat, your reading of some books. They all start to come when you start speaking. The moment somebody stops you, that process of those series of information that are reaching you, they will be cut off. So who's losing? The students are losing. That's why the best is to write it down. You have a question, just quickly take note on that. After the class, when the time for questions comes, you ask. Knowledge has strategy. We need to know these strategies for us to learn and to get the best of it, inshallah. You get it? So these are some, inshallah, we will keep on feeding ourselves with these virtues and adab of learning until the time being, like ta'ala, we manage to take from the righteous predecessors. قال علمه من علمه وجهله من جهله. قال إن كنت لأرى الشيء قد نسيته فأعرفه كما يعرف الرجل الرجل إذا غاب عنه فرأه فعرفه. He says, SubhanAllah, I was there. Sometimes I might see something that I already forgot. The Prophet also mentioned that when I see it, I remember, oh yeah. Rasulullah was telling us that this is going to happen at this moment. He said, I remember it when I see it taking place exactly in the way the Prophet prescribed. Just like the way you recognize your friend, your relative, when you miss him, he was absent from you and now he comes back and you recognize that, yeah, this is so and so person. وقال رضي الله عنه أخبرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو كائن إلى أن تقوم الساعة. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told me about what will happen until the last day. فما منه شيء إلا قد سألته إلا أن أنه لم أسأله ما يخرج أهل المدينة من المدينة. So there was nothing which I did not ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said except one thing. He said, I forgot to ask him, what exactly will cause the people of Medina to leave Medina? At the time when they will leave Medina, he said, I forgot to ask him, what is the cause? Why people will be leaving this place? So we will talk. This is one of the sharat, min ashrat al-sa'ah. We'll talk about that later, inshallah. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ ذَلِكَ خَاصًا بِحُذَيْفَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بَلْ لَقَدْ خَاطَبَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمًا كَامِلًا يبين للصحابة رضي الله عنه ما كان وما سيكون إلى قيام الساعة. He said, this is not only for Hudhayfa. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave them khutbah, long khutbah one day. That took the whole day. Started after Fajr. When Dhuhr prayer time comes, he stopped and prayed. Right after Dhuhr, he continued. Until Asr. And then he prayed. Right after Asr, he continued. Until Maghrib. The whole day. And he talked to them about whatever will happen until the last day. فقد روى أبو عمرو ابن أخطب الأنصاري رضي الله عنه قال صلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الفجر وصعد المنبر فخاطبنا حتى حضرت الظهر فنزل فصلى ثم صعد المنبر فخاطبنا حتى حضرت العصر ثم نزل فصلى ثم صعد فخطبنا حتى غربت الشمس فأخبرنا بما هو بما كان وما هو كائن فأعلمنا أحفظنا الله أكبر. أبو زيد عمرو بن الأخطب الأنصاري, he said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us khutbah one day بعد صلاة الفجر. You know, he prayed Fajr and then he started to speak. Went on top of the minbar and talk until Dhuhr time. And then he stopped, he prayed Dhuhr. Until Asr time, and then he stopped and prayed Asr. Until Maghrib, you know, and then he stopped and prayed Maghrib, the people. Hudhayfa, I'm sorry, Abu Zayd said, فَأَخْبَرَنَا بِمَا كَانَ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ. And he told us about what happened and what will happen in the future. He says, فَأَعْلَمُنَا أَحْفَظُنَا. The most knowledgeable among us is the one who memorized more than the rest. Yeah, so please, when you take note or you go and follow up through the recordings, try to memorize and remember all of your knowledge. Any knowledge you are taking from the classes, from these type of sittings, whatever. That's the benefit of learning. Otherwise, you'll be just a book, you know. I mean, you'll be having a dictionary added to the rest of the books you have in your room. قال رواه مسلم وقال حذيفة بن اليمان والله إني لأعلم الناس بكل فتنة هي كائنة فيما بيني وبين الساعة. حذيفة بن اليمان said, والله I am the most knowledgeable person about every fitna that will happen from now until the day of judgment. Because he's asked this every time, so asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, what will happen now? What will happen after this? Is there any good after this? He used to ask this question, which nobody is asking Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم like that. He said people used to ask him about good things, they used to ask him about bad things, to avoid getting into trouble when they happen. قال وما بي إلا أن أكون رسول الله أن يكون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أسر إلي في ذلك شيئا لم يحدثه غيري ولكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هو يحدث مجلسا وأنا فيه عن الفتن فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يعد الفتن منهن ثلاث لا يكدن يذرن شيئا منهن فتن كرياح الصيف منها صغار ومنها كبار قال حذيفة فذهب أولئك الرهط كلهم غيري. وذيفع بن اليمان said, he said, I know that, he said, I'm saying this to you not because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called me one day and he told me, Hudhaifa, I'm going to tell you something which I will not share it with others. He said, no, it never happened like that. He said, what happened was, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the companions and I was there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the fitan. You know, he talks about the fitan and he says, among these fitan, there are three fitna that will never leave anything. Whatever they exist nearby, that thing will get destroyed. Nothing can survive in the middle of this fitan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمِنْهُنَّ فِتَنٌ كَرِيَاحِ السَّيْفِ. And there amongst them fitan, just like the رِيَاحُ السَّيْفِ. That's the wind that exists in the summer. He says, وَمِنْهَا صِغَارٌ وَمِنْهَا كِبَارٌ. And some of these fitan are big and some of them are small. So what happened? Hudhaifa said, فَذَهَبَ أُولَٰئِكَ الرَّهَطُ. He said, I know everyone who was there when the Prophet ﷺ was talking. He said, ذَهَبَ أُولَٰئِكَ الرَّهَطُ كُلُّهُمْ غَيْرِي. He said, all of them died. The only one who remains is me. That's why he says, I am the most knowledgeable person in this regard. He said, because the time the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, we are a group of us, but then all of them died. I'm the only one who remains. So he said, it wasn't that the Prophet ﷺ gave me alone. He gave it to everyone. Right? But then all of those people who took it with me, they died. I'm the only one who remains. فَعَذِي أَدِلَّةٌ صَحِيحَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰهُ سُمَّ قَدْ أَخْبَرَ أُمَّتَهُ بِكُلِّ مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَىٰ قِيَمِ السَّاعَةِ مِمَّا يَخُصُّهُ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told the ummah everything that concerns them, which will take place until the day of judgment. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم informed us about it. وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ أَشْرَاطَ السَّاعَةِ قَدْ نَالَتْ مِنَ الْإِخْبَارِ فِي الْغَيْبِ النَّصِيبِ الْأَوْفَرِ. He says, for sure, the Ashrat al-Sa'ah got the larger portion of these ghayb that will happen before the day of judgment. وَلِهَذَا جَاءَتْ أَحَدِيثُ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ كَثِيرًا جِدًّا. That's why you have the hadith of Ashrat al-Sa'ah. There are a lot. وَرُوِيَتْ بِأَلْفَاظٍ مُخْتَلِفَةٍ لِكَثْرَةِ مَنْ نَقَلَهَا مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ. And they were narrated with different text, because those who narrated those hadith, there are a lot also from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You get it? Al-Tawajri in his book, Ithaf al-Jama'a fi al-Fitan wal-Malahim wa Ashrat al-Sa'ah, he says sometimes you might see a hadith. By the chain of narration of that hadith, the hadith is weak. But then subhanallah, he says you will see across the time what that hadith is mentioning is taking place precisely in the way that hadith says. He says, مِمَّا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ لِتِلْكَ الْأَحَدِيثِ أَصْلٍ. He says, watch, confirm that, yes, those ahadiths, they might have some root to the truth. But we say they're weak and we stay away from them because of the principle we have that they're weak narration, we will not take it. But he says, subhanAllah, sometimes some of these, they happen exactly in the way that the text of that hadith mentioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So in the next class, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will start with the next mabhath, which is about ilmu as-sa'ah, the knowledge of the day of judgment. Allah grant us good. Let's move to a question, if any. Sure.
لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل فتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة
من الذين أنفقوا من بعد
وقاتلوا وكلا
وعد الله الحسنى.
So is this ayah an evidence that we can say that all of the Sahaba are in paradise?
No, we can't. We hope inshallah all of them will be in paradise. Otherwise, why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is specifying some? There is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that went to hell. That person who was sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an unknown arrow came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sorry, it came to that person and shot him, and he died because of that. The companion said, "Hani Allahu bil Jannah." He got free Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, kalla, wallah, inna shamlat alati yadhallaha la tashta'ilu alayhi nar." So because he took one piece of cloth before it is distributed from the ghanima, and he go to hell because of this. So we confirm Jannah to the one that the Prophet ﷺ said is going to Jannah. But what we will say rather than this, Yusuf, is radiallahu anhu wa radha. Allah is pleased with them, all of them. What is the conclusion of that? A pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. We don't make anything. We just say this. Allah says radiallahu anhu wa radha. We just say this and khalas. Al-wa'd al-hasan. Unless if you are saying wa'ad Allah al-husna, interpret it to with Jannah, then it will be, yes, all of them are promised Jannah. Anyone who died in Islam will go to Jannah. That is a promise of going to Jannah. Whether he is going to go to Jannah straightforward, or he will be going to Jannah later after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify him, but he will be going to Jannah. But husna is good here as the first thing that comes to the mind. Yeah, meaning each and every one of them is good, but just they are not the same, they are not equal. They're different in terms of the iman and also their position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why according to our aqidah, they do not say except the companions. The aqidah says, we don't confirm any Jannah for anyone, or now for anyone, except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they're going to Jannah, or the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala said they're going to Jannah. You got it? And we saw here. The companions of the Prophet, we love them. We believe they are the best and the closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe that all of them, Jawazul Qantara. You get it? Radiallahu anhum wa radhu anhum. Then we stop here. What would be the situation in the future when they meet Allah? That's between them and Allah. What is the point of saying the people of Badr, لن يدخل النار, somebody who participated in Badr will not go to hell? If all of them are like that, then why the Prophet is saying this? You get it? Why the people, if you are here, you also get Jannah? You get it? It should be just every companion of mine cannot go to hell, is in Jannah. It depends on their activities and actions and approach coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have wrongdoers, people who the Prophet blamed, who did not do the good thing. You get the idea. So whoever dies in Islam will go to paradise, but he might be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his sins. You get it? And everyone is equal in this, whether he's a companion or not companion. You get it? So that's why this aqidah we take it seriously. The only one we say is in Jannah is the one that the Prophet said he's in Jannah, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he's in Jannah. The companions, we love them, we praise them, we believe they are the best. Nobody can even come closer to them. But then we say, radiallahu anhum wa radhu an. We close the page. Allah is pleased with them and they're pleased with Allah. Finished. Comes after that? What comes after that? That's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ameen.
Why do we say Khuruj al-Dajjal and not like Dhahr al-Dajjal, Dakhil al-Dajjal? Why Khuruj?
Khuruj means because he's going to come out from a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept. Inshallah, when we reach Dajjal, you hear the hadith of Jassasa. Jassasa, okay. Where this animal, the beast, the Tamim al-Dari met. They found Dajjal in a place. Dajjal exists, but we don't know where Dajjal is.
Isn't this hadith notoriously unreliable? By Tamim al-Dari, specifically this one where he said that Dajjal is like chained up somewhere?
Adam, should I bring stick to... wait. And then next time, I think I should bring some stick and... Where do you get this hadith?
I read it online, but I read that the commentary said that this was an unreliable...
So you should read it offline. And get it from Sahih Muslim, inshallah.
It's from Sahih Muslim?
Sahih Muslim. There are some of our great scholars, I will not mention their name, who said he has some issue with the content of the hadith. Very great scholar of ours, but he said he has some issues with the content of the hadith. That's no issue with this, with the content of the hadith. Okay. Yeah, the hadith is reliable, and that's it. What's wrong with that? This is a ghaib. That's why we said, if you don't understand this concept and go with it correctly, you always have these type of thoughts. That signs of the day of judgment, they are part of the unseen. Having the Dajjal in existence is very possible. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to believe that Ibn Sayyad is Dajjal. We will talk about that also later. You get that's possible for him to exist at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the people that this is the one that I always been mentioning. But where is he? We don't know. You get it? We just give it like that. The hadith comes from the chain that we cannot reject, so we accept it. We take hukum from it, and then we don't make any comment. Again, so the Dajjal is going to come from the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him. Yeah, just like Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they're there. For how long? Since Wallahu A'lam, yani. Yeah, because they are the children of Adam alayhi salam. Yeah. So they are there. But who saw them? Nobody. No, Dhulqarnain make the...
He did not see them,
he built the wall. Maybe he saw them, you know, maybe he saw them because they used to come and cause corruption to the people. People who are living in that place, I'm talking about after that, after the wall was being placed. Who saw them? Nobody. You have the liberalists, and some who don't submit to the Sunan, they don't accept this. You say, what are you talking about? A nation with this huge population. Nobody ever saw them? They said, no, this is batil. For us, this is ghaib. We accept whatever is authentic, and we keep it like that. How is it? We say, Allahu A'lam. But do you agree? Yes, we agree. Why? Because the way it came to us is the way the scholars said, when we see something like this, we accept. You know? Yes, Adam. So that's the reason why we say, Khuruj al-Dajjal.
Sheikh, with regards to Ya'juj and Ma'juj, there were some Sahabas, or one Sahaba who saw the a structure that was built to keep them away, right?
These are all history.
History.
Tellings, you know. History tales. Yeah. And history is a combination of everything. That's why in Iraq he says, وَلْيَعْلَمِ الطَّالِبُ أَنَّ السِّيَرَ تَجْمَعُ مَا صَحَّ وَمَا قَدْ نُكِرَ القصد ما أتى أهل ما أتى به أهل السير القصد ما أتى أهل السير به وإن إسناده لا يعتبر. Very good statement said by Iraqi in his Alfiyat al-Sira. He says, وليعلم الطالب أن السير تجمع ما صح وما قد نكر القصد ما أتى أهل السير به وإن إسناده لا يعتبر. Student of knowledge should know that history, the purpose of history is to combine whatever is said to happen in the past, whether it is authentic or it is not authentic. It's my job to go and do my scrutiny to make sure I'm using the authentic one. As historians, sometimes they don't care. They just mention what is said to happen in the past. Correct, bad, evil, correct, authentic, valid, invalid, it doesn't matter. And somebody who said it, they just mention. That's why we have to be very careful when reading history. Yeah, no. Many of these history facts that contain criticism against others, they are fake. Yeah. You know this when you read about the ma'arik التي وقعت بين Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah, the battles between Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah. Lot of fake information were given, you know, on the matter. The scholars will tell you this one is fake, this one is correct.
Sister is asking a question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. Ahsan Allah alaikum fi dunya wal akhirah. If someone is at the age of 68, still not preparing to meet Allah, and we have an opportunity to advise this person, what and how should we advise this person when we have the opportunity to truly awaken this person? The person was very busy with work and didn't walk the path to seek knowledge before retiring.
Go and tell him about the fact that he already knows that life is not guaranteed for everyone, and he's going to stay here temporarily. And also remind him about the main purpose and objective of life. The one who created him was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he created him for a purpose. And remind him about the benefit of not being negligent in this dunya. Mention all the nusus that talk about this. And if you can add to that also the nusus about those people who get into trouble when they become negligent in this dunya and they ignore the side of the akhirah. Inshallah, all of these things, a person at that age need to know this. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open his heart, listen, you know, and come and pay attention and combine between the dunya and the akhirah, not just dunya. Hello. May Allah grant us good.
Sawakumullah khair, Shaykh. When should we teach our children on hadith of bitaqa?
From now. Yeah, teach your kids from now. about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the importance of Tawheed. Because this hadith of Bitaqa is talking about the importance of Tawheed. So when you teach a child, just quickly tell him that this shows how important is Tawheed. And also don't forget to remind him that these are exceptions. People who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive and take them to paradise immediately without getting to be punished because of their evil doings. And then tell him which one is the best. And attached to that also, some other nusus of people who went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sins and they go to hell. That it doesn't stop them from going to hell. You get it? So you can maintain the balance. So he knows the importance of Tawheed, that there is no way for him to remain in hell, and also the importance of being righteous because it avoids the person from going to hell. So these two must be attached together. May Allah grant us good. I mean, you teach him according to his mental capacity.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. There's one more question. In case of any issue regarding business and inheritance, is it better to leave to Allah and forgive because the goodness of people we know about, to avoid shaitan mislead us and hope reward from Allah?
I don't know what is the issue here.
If there is an issue regarding business and inheritance, someone's right. Is it?
If someone is being unjust, their dealings with business, or like when it's time to inherit and the family are fighting over the property, is it better to also fight for your right or just leave it?
Or is it better to leave
give up
to
your
Allah?
No, if you can fight for your right, this is a right.
Yes.
A person can fight for his right and get what Allah wants to prescribe for him to be his right. And he also at the same time can forgive. Yeah. He also at the same time can forgive. He realizes that that person has no way to get that right and he is not denying the right. It's better to forgive. But those people who are not willing to submit and they know this is not their right and they take it, I can't say this is better for you to forgive. Forgiving for what? Yeah. Unless if he is a relative, yes, you might forgive because of that connection between you and him. But these type of people, the best is to look for that right so that they will not do it with others. Because if I forgive, he will do it with Yusuf also. Yusuf forgive, he do it with Adam, Adam forgive. But if I reject and I look for my right and I fought for it, next time he will be very careful. He will not do it with others. InshaAllah. But a person can forgive and close the page if there is a need for that. InshaAllah.
Especially in case of relatives, is it better to forgive because...
It depends on what kind of relative is he.
Like very, because
but a person can forgive, especially when it is with the relatives. Because if you have a relative that disturbs the family, why would you forgive him? He's going to keep doing it with others because he knows people will say, okay, no problem.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh.
Is it? Okay, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته